This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm really happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Wendy L. Drumbarth. She's going to be talking about how she followed her call, even while having small children, and why being present with your loved ones is of utter importance. Wendy began graduate school at the age of 43 to follow her long-held desire to become a therapist. One of her mentors in her internship sparked her interest in becoming a couple and family therapist. Wendy is now a licensed professional counselor in private practice in Madison, New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Wendy. How are you doing today?
Hi, Mari. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Awesome. So I talked a little bit about that you decided to follow your calling at the age of 43, even though you had two small children. Would you share with us how it was you decided to do something so difficult and what the struggles and rewards were?
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. Because if it can inspire anyone to move forward with a dream they may have, then it's worth it. You know, I was my kids at the time I went back were like fifth and seventh grade, maybe like 11 and 10 and 12 or so, and it had long been a desire of mine back in my 20s after I finished my undergrad, which was in pharmacy, of all things, totally not really related, I guess, in some ways. And I thought about it in my 20s. Should I go back? And it just seemed like such a process, and I'd have to get so much more schooling. And then I got married and had children, and my kids were too young and busy. And finally, you know, through life experiences that I had where some difficult life experiences with some difficult people, and also because of that, seeking my own therapy and really learning a little more what it was like, it really came back very strongly that this is what I wanted to do and really what I felt like what I was meant to do. And I knew that it would be the biggest regret if I didn't do it. I knew that I went to my deathbed and I said, if I'm looking back on my life, what am I sad about? It was that. It was that I didn't go back to school. And so as scared as I was, I just decided, okay, I'm going to do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I congratulate you for that, because I remember when I was really young and had small kids, I always wanted to be a teacher. And I remember one of my husband's aunts would say, just take, you know, one class every semester, just take one class. And before you know it, you have your teaching degree. And I didn't do it. I never did it. So I really congratulate you for having had done that. So what kind of rewards did you find as you began to step into this, which is what you had wanted for such a long time?
Yeah, well, I will tell you that as soon as I started, it was like, at least I'm doing it. I knew that I would no longer have the regret. I was taking my first class, and I said, you know, if I died tomorrow, I will not have a regret because I pursued this. So just challenging myself in that way was very rewarding. And, I mean, it had been 20 years since I had been in the classroom, since I had graduated from college. So it's like, oh boy, I will tell you, the whole first semester, I think I had panic attacks. So I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, I don't know how to write a paper. My undergraduate degree was all in science. I don't know how to write these kinds of papers. But somehow I figured it out, and I got through the process, and I love what I do. So if I hadn't done it, I just don't know what I'd be doing in this phase of my life.
Right. Very good. Awesome. So let's talk for a minute about what role authenticity played in all of this for you.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think because it really did feel like a calling. It really felt like something I wanted to do, I was meant to do. And it was kind of stepping into my authentic self. I could have gone back to work in a pharmacy or pharmaceutical industry, but it didn't really appeal to me to do that. And in order to do what I really wanted to do, I needed to get over some hurdles, and they were pretty big ones, you know, graduate school in your 40s and raising children and taking care of the family, certainly a hurdle. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you did you end up going back as a coach? Was that a second career for you as well?
Yeah. Way later, though, I didn't start that till I was in my 50s. I finally decided I was out of corporate America and doing something that I really love to do, which is teaching as well. Coaching is teaching. So I ended up having the career I wanted, just in a very different way. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit about how you work, you know, with your clients in your practice. I know that you teach mindfulness. That's one of the things you teach them, and also being present.
Yes, yes, and they are kind of two sides of the same bookend. So my practice is after college, one of my mentors inspired me to train in couple and family therapy. And I found that I especially love the couples work, and I also subsequently trained in sex therapy. So I do a lot of couples work, sex therapy with them. But, you know, and I also see individuals. But no matter what I am doing, no matter what I am working on, whether it's anxiety with a client or conflict in a couple and understanding how they move in relation to each other, I incorporate mindfulness across the board. And let me just sort of define mindfulness. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is being present right now in this moment. So noticing even the chair you're sitting in underneath you, noticing any sounds you might hear, noticing any smells, the feel of the wind if you're walking outside and listening to this, or if you are at home and you're cooking, what is around you. Noticing your body. What does your body feel like? What is present this moment right now? And so mindfulness is awareness. There are so many benefits to mindfulness that, you know, it's good. It helps to calm the body in so many ways. Now, I don't want that to mean that every time one practices mindfulness or meditation, they're going to feel calm. They may not, but in a broad sense, the more time you spend focused in the present moment, the better it is for us. It decreases stress. It has many wonderful impacts on the body and brain.
Mm-hmm.
And in my work, it is the application of mindfulness, because we can't change anything we're not aware of. And when we slow down, so for example, if you have a couple and their pattern is, let's say I'm going to be very heterosexist here. Let's say the woman in the couple is angry at her partner because he didn't do the errand she asked him to do, and she starts pursuing him and yelling at him, and she's angry. And when she pursues him, he shuts down. Mm-hmm. And the more he shuts down, maybe she feels unheard, uncared for. She pursues him. The more she pursues him, maybe the more his anxiety goes up, the more he shuts down, and they get in that cycle. And we do a lot of exploration around something like that, family of origin, and what really gets triggered in a person when somebody yells at them or comes at them angrily, or somebody forgets to do an errand for them, and what are they really feeling underneath that. So I do family explorations. I kind of say we therapists, but I will do an exploration of a person's early life to understand why this particular act made them so upset. Because it's not about the clothes they didn't pick up or the item they didn't get from the supermarket. It's more about how that made them feel and how that experience may harken back to their past. And we can't help how we feel. And how we feel usually makes a lot of sense when we look at our lives retrospectively. It usually makes a lot of sense. Oh, you mean you didn't feel hurt as a child, and so when you feel like your partner doesn't hear how important this was to you, that experience is repeated, right? Mm-hmm. And when you don't feel heard, you get louder.
Right.
Yeah, that's what happens, right? So if you can add that pause and you slow down that process and you notice, oh, my partner didn't do this errand for me. Wow. Okay, what's happening for me? I feel my body getting more activated. I feel triggered. My thoughts are, what a jerk. I feel anger coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can't help how we feel, but we can always help what we do. And when we can take that pause and choose, awareness gives us the wisdom of choice, right? So mm-hmm. I know I'm feeling this way. I know I usually go into these habitual patterns that never really work, because when I do this, he shuts down. And when he shuts down, I do this more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe I can talk to him a little bit differently. Or maybe I will say, listen, I don't want to do what I usually do, but I need a break. Give me 15 minutes. Give mm-hmm. me 15 minutes. And on the other side, if somebody does start yelling first and they don't have that awareness, for the other person to be able to say, okay, the way I coped when I was growing up was that I just blinked away into my room and shut down. And that's
mm-hmm.
what happening here. But those coping strategies are not useful in this relationship. So I can't help that that's what I'm thinking I want to do, but I can stay present.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, right? It's a big place where just slowing down and noticing,
yeah.
noticing your body, noticing your thoughts.
Even listening to you talk about the couple interacting that different way makes it sound so much calmer and so much
mm-hmm.
and very doable, you know. But
yeah.
as you said earlier, if we're not aware of even what we're feeling, and especially not of why, but even being aware of what you're feeling, if we're not aware of that, how can we do anything about it? You know, very good. Thanks so
mm-hmm.
much for sharing that with us. That was
yeah.
really awesome. So you said that that being present was the other side
mm-hmm.
of it. So let's talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, presence and awareness are kind of, you know, they're kind of almost the same. They're synonyms, and they are buddies, maybe is better, right? Because we have to be present to be aware of what's happening, right? Okay, I am choosing to come into this moment right now. What am I aware of in this moment? Oh, I notice the chair underneath me. I notice some birds outside my window. I notice a calm and quietness. I notice it's a little warm in the room and it makes me a little uncomfortable, right? And
mm-hmm.
and so presence. Imagine there's an exercise that I did in a workshop once where we were talking to, we buddied up with someone and we were talking to them and telling them a story. And then at some point, the person we are talking to puts their head down and looks away. And we have to keep talking. So imagine if you're talking to someone and they put their head down and look away. What does that feel like? It feels like, well, they're not here. Do they want to hear me? Why aren't they listening to me? I don't feel this person. It's a disconnect, right?
Right.
And, yeah. And so, for example, a mother with a young child and their child is, you know, kind of tugging at their shirt saying, mommy, mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And mom's getting dinner ready, and mom is making a phone call she forgot to make, and mom is just doing all the things that moms do for their family and their children.
Yes.
But imagine just taking that one moment, coming down to their level, and saying, hi, sweetie, what are you needing right now? Right? Or they just want to show you the picture they drew, and to spend that 15 seconds, 30 seconds being fully present with them, mm-hmm. and really connecting with them. And with our partners as well. How many times have any of us come home and we're trying to talk to our partner, but our partner's doing a million things, and then they start telling something to us. We're like, did you even hear me? And so mm-hmm. Oftentimes I give couples a homework assignment is just to sit and talk to each other, put your devices away, just mm-hmm. be present with each other for 10 minutes. We each had these full days away from each other. Something happened. Let's talk about it. Tell me about your life during these last 12 hours, and I'll share my life with you. And really just being present for someone is a wonderful gift to give mm-hmm. our loved ones.
Wow, I love that. Yeah. That's beautiful. Okay, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Wendy a question or talk to her, the lines will be open. You can dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start dialing now, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Elliot Robertson, spiritual growth coach. In these tough times when things are rocky with finances, we need to step into our spiritual maturity like never before. My short ebook, Preparing for the Coming Bank Closures, can help you with spiritual growth and help you to tap into a willingness to trust life. So you get your free copy of this book, email me at ElliotRobertsonJoyfulWorld.com. Elliot has two L's and two T's.
Hello, my name is Tamara Miller Davis, and I'd like to tell you about my realistic and romantic novel, Despite the Buzz. It is about technology's influence and other timely topics. There are digital wellness resources in the back, as well as book club and discussion questions. The story is a colorful and artful multimedia piece, which serves as commentary on media's influence. Check it out at despitethebuzz.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Wendy L. Dumbroff, talking about how she followed her call even while having small children and why being present with your loved ones is of utter importance. So, Wendy, what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public today?
Oh, let me think about this. I think that I would invite each person listening to practice slowing down, to practice this pause, to take a moment, whether you are taking a shower and just stopping for a moment and noticing the water on your skin, whether you are eating a meal and really getting in touch with how the food feels in your mouth and the flavors and the smells, whether you're just walking down the street and you feel the wind on your face, or you happen to see a pretty flower growing, to pause and turn and look at it, I would invite people to practice the slowing down and taking a breath and really just get more in touch with being in the present moment. You know, for me, a shower is one of the most enjoyable things to do. And we could have our mind like racing ahead at the 10 million things we have to do when we get out of the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are still going to be there for us. Take a moment. There, it's still a promise. They're still going to be there. Take a moment and enjoy the feel of the water on your body and just how it feels on your muscles. Maybe they're tight or whatever it is. So I think I would invite people to take moments to be present in their life more, and especially with their family and even their friends.
That's good. I love that. What would you say?
What's your message? I'll give my message.
But let me just ask this. Yeah. So what would you say, because I was just in Boston visiting with my daughter, and they have two little kids. and life is hectic. Hectic is like not even spring.
Right.
What would you say to parents of young children who it's like they're going in every which way direction and think, I don't even have a minute to pause? I mean, they do get in the shower, but what kind of suggestion would you have for that?
You know, I think that whatever they are busy doing, be present with it, right? Mm. If they're busy getting their child dressed in the morning, be present with your child. Like, you know, I have two sons and they're big now, 31 and almost 29. And you're not going to get those moments back. You can't reach into the pictures and give them a hug, their little baby, you know, people a hug. And, you know, really touch into them. You're putting a little shirt over their head and you see their sweet little face or how their hair is sort of mushed around. Just appreciate each moment. It's true. As parents, we can't attend constantly to our children when they want us. We do have things to do. But when we are in the moment doing something, be present with what we are doing, especially with our children. Don't be thinking about the six other things you have to do when you're, you know, feeding your baby or getting your young child dressed or getting ready to get them to school.
Oh,
listen to them. And also with children, I think it is so important to be curious. Ask them questions. Just be curious. Oh, I love this picture you drew. Oh, how did you choose to use purple here? It's so pretty. And tell me more about this. And what does this mean? Really, really be curious about the things that they see and do, and to get more in touch with them.
Yeah, I love that, Wendy. That's really great. What a great suggestion. So my main message is kind of similar to yours, but I have gotten such joy and such peace from carving out what I call a quiet time in the morning. Just the time for me to, I don't have to meditate, but I can, just to connect with myself, to connect with our Creator, to write, to just do a little bit of journaling, do my gratitude list. It doesn't have to take hours, but and I always encourage my clients to begin this practice because that's when my mind can really quiet. And when your mind is quiet, then you can listen. And so you can listen to that little voice inside us that guides us. And so especially if I'm trying to make a decision or confused about something, it's a really great time to just get some feedback, but we can't hear it if there's too much noise going on in our life.
Ah, that's beautiful. That's lovely. And I agree with you. And it sounds like, although it may not be the formal practice of meditation, it sounds like very intentional time that you use for yourself to just sit and be with what's there and what you need to focus on, which is lovely. Yeah.
Thank you. And sometimes I do incorporate meditation in it, but I don't do it every day. So
just to clarify, the difference between meditation and mindfulness is that mindfulness can be practiced informally, like, for example, noticing the water on your hands when you're washing the dishes, noticing how soft your child's hair is when you're brushing their hair, tasting whatever food you're eating. You can incorporate mindfulness in throughout your day. That's the beautiful thing. You don't need even to set aside time for it. You can even do it when you're going to the bathroom, just experiencing what that feels like in your body, right? To be there. And meditation is a formal practice of mindfulness. It is time that we intentionally set aside to be in the present moment. And often it will be something like focusing on the breath, focusing on the body, allowing yourself to notice. It could be focused on thoughts or even an emotional experience, a body experience that comes with an emotion, oh my goodness, when I was thinking about that interaction I had with that person, I noticed that I really felt this tightness in my chest when I started to think about that. Oh, that feels like anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really just intentional time that we set aside to be in the present moment.
Yeah, that's great. So, Wendy, let's talk for a moment about how to get a hold of you.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a website. It is Wendy Dumbroth Therapy. It's Wendy with an I. All my information is on there. I have a private practice, as you said in the beginning, in New Jersey, in Madison, New Jersey. These days, of course, since the pandemic, I do both virtual and in person. Mm-hmm. However, I'm only licensed in New Jersey, so I can only see people who either come to my office in New Jersey or live in New Jersey if we do virtual work. And all my information is there. My phone number is there, and you can also text me to that number as well. That's the quickest way to get a hold of me.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And that website is right here on the Blog Talk. You can link right into there, right to her website, right here on this page. So, Wendy, is there one last thing that you'd like to say to a listener?
I think that's useful for everyone is to listen to each other, whether it's our child, a friend, our partner, to listen to hear rather than to respond. And that takes intentionality on being present and to reflect back what you hear, to really validate the other person. Oh, so you're saying, Joey, you really don't want to do this homework assignment. No, Mom, I don't want to do it. Wow, mm-hmm. that's really a bummer. It really bothers you. And you still have to do it, but I understand that you're having a problem here, right? Mm-hmm. So when we validate someone and we listen to them, they feel heard. And it doesn't mean we agree with it. It doesn't mean we don't set boundaries. It doesn't mean it's okay. Oh, okay, you think I intentionally didn't take that to do that errand for you, and therefore, you're angry at me. I see that when I forgot to pick up that thing at the store for you, it really upset you and you felt really sad about that. You feel hurt. Yeah. So listen to hear. We'll have our time to say something as well, but listen to hear and to validate the person's experience that is sharing something with us.
That's wonderful. I love that. Yesterday I went to pick up something, and the clerk who was checking me out was just having this wonderful conversation with me as he was preparing my things and getting it ready and telling me where to put the credit card. And he was also from New York originally like me and lived in Florida like me. And after I left, I'm like, wow, what an amazing conversation we just had. And he was so joyful and so happy to share this with me. And sometimes we're in such a rut. We're like, we've got this errand and this errand and this errand to do that we forget to stop and listen to people. So when you were talking about that, it reminded me of that. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show. It has been such a pleasure having you.
Oh, thank you, Mari. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And thank you for listening to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. We're live, but this will be available as a replay. So pass it on to people you know that need to hear it. And don't forget to listen to us next on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.